Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
It's almost a cliche, especially here in the Bay Area. A parent who's got an adult kid who's back on their sofa, and unlike we had done a switch sides debate on this a few weeks ago, in this case we have the problem being even greater. Yes, he or she is back on parent's sofa, but he or she is an artist. And I'm going to continue to use the word she because I'm going to now talk about it in terms of if it were my daughter, it's not relevant to my daughter. But imagine this. Imagine you have a daughter, just graduated from college. You've got all this debt, and it's always the parents who take on the debt if the kid's under 25. And the kid decides she wants to pursue a career as an artist or a comedian or a magician, novelist, actor, you know, the whole artistic stuff. And to date, let's say she graduated last June, between the time, any, she could have earned money in college from her art or subsequent. And let's say to date, she's now 22, she's received a total of $1,000 in income from her art. The question, would you encourage her to continue? It's a real dilemma. And so when we have real dilemmas, I find it fun, and hopefully it's edifying for you, and maybe even entertaining, to do what's called a switch sides in the middle of debate. I take one side, that would support my daughter's decision to be an artist, and then my opponent in the debate would take the side saying she doesn't support the daughter's decision to be an artist. And then in the middle of the debate, we switch sides and take the other side of the argument so that you end up getting to decide not based on who's the better debater, but which side actually is more meritorious. And my favorite debate opponent is my wife, Dr. Barbara Nemko, Napa County Superintendent of Schools. Say what's one more thing you want to say about yourself, Barbara?
That I've been on the show for 25 years with you.
Yeah, it'll be 26 in October.
But who's counting?
Right. Oh, I like that we've been on so long. It's nice. Anyway, okay. So, ever the gracious host, you can choose. Do you want to go first and first take the argument that you want to support if your daughter was deciding to be an artist that you would support it, or you want me to do that first and then
I'll support it.
Okay, you'll support it. Go ahead.
You're young, and that's a luxury because we don't stay young forever. We rarely regret the things that we did. We usually regret the things we didn't do. This is your time to try it out. It would be fabulous if you could make that your career. And I certainly would like to support your taking the opportunity to try that. So let's sit down and let's plan out some realistic time frames for how long we're going to give it, because obviously you need to think about how you're going to live. But I think being happy is incredibly important, and to have a job that you hate would be a waste of your life. So sure, take that shot. And you don't need to make a huge salary in order to live. You can find many ways to live within a more modest budget. And if you're really enjoying what you're doing, you won't even notice that it's a modest budget because you'll be having such a good time. Certainly, I don't want to argue with you. It's not the choice I would make, but I don't want to fight with you about it. I think it's great, and maybe you will make it. You're pretty talented. I like the stuff that you do. So go for it, baby.
Great. Okay. Now I'm going to take the side that I wouldn't support the decision. I'd say, first of all, in listening to the other argument, I say, you're painting a false set of comparisons. Doesn't mean just because you're not going to be an artist, doesn't mean that you'll hate the career. There are many careers that people end up liking, and in fact, being an artist ends up being very frustrating because you're spending most of your time hawking your wares, or if you're an actor, auditioning and sitting and waiting in the audience for your turn to come up on stage. So it's a false choice to say that just because you're not going to be an artist doesn't mean that you're going to be unhappy. Secondly, it's simply irresponsible. It's one thing for you to say you want to support yourself, but on $1,000 so far, you're probably not going to make much more in your art. It's just going to be like continuing an arts and crafts summer camp forever, and you're not, that is irresponsible to expect us as your parents, because who's going to support you? It's either us, or if we don't have money, it's going to be the taxpayer, you know, for your subsidized housing and your food stamps and your subsidized health care. Is that really responsible? You know, you're 22 years old now. Is that really responsible? And remember, you know, as you well know, dear daughter, young adults are notorious for taking undue risks. That's why they get into so many car accidents. That's why their insurance is so much higher. That's why they're more likely to abuse drugs, do unprotected sex. And it's equally dangerous, maybe more dangerous, while all of your peers are going to be launching their career, for you to say, I'm going to be an artist. I mean, if you had already made decent money and there was reasonable signs that you were going to be a somewhat self-supporting, even modestly, from your art, I would support you. But the chances are damn good that you're going to end up always being dependent on me or the taxpayer. And that is just not something I can support. Can I force you? Of course not. But I can't tell you that you should, just because you're now 22, yeah, you're an adult, but it's arbitrary that parents should stop parenting at an arbitrary age when their daughter is supposed to do something ridiculous. I mean, even if it was a stranger, if I saw a stranger crossing a street and about to get hit by a bus, I would stop what I was doing and race to try to save that person from the bus. Well, you're my daughter, and I love you, and I don't care if you're 22 or 62. I have an obligation to protect you against a very likely being metaphorically run over by a bus. Now, look, I love art, I love theater, I love music, I love all that stuff. You can make it as a hobby, serious hobby, and probably end up having much more fun because you're not worried so much about marketing. So I love you. And of course, I'm not going to disown you if you know, choose to be an artist. But I'd be abdicating my responsibility if I didn't tell you that I really wished that you would look for a serious career that you wouldn't hate and do your art seriously as a hobby. If later it takes off, great. You can quit your job and be an artist. But for now, I can't sleep at night thinking you're really committing a one-way street of somewhat career suicide. Because when you're 27 or 28, and the employer then is going to ask you, well, what have you been doing since you graduated 5 years from now? And you say, well, I've been an artist. That's going to make any, quote, straight employer worry that you're always going to be an artiste personality, and they'll always rather hire somebody who, after college, maybe took 2 months off, 6 months off, but then went and, pursued a career seriously. So that's why, my dear darling daughter, I'm worried. Okay? Now we're switching in the middle. Do you want me now to make the... Yeah, that's what we've done. When we do these switch side debates, first let our listeners know, you're listening to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. We're doing a switch sides in the middle debate on the question of what happens if you have a son or a daughter who's graduated college, say, you know, last May or June, and she or he wants to be an artist and has only made $1,000 from their art to this point. And would you encourage it or not? And so now we're switching sides, and I'm going to make the argument for why you should support the art, why I should support my daughter's desire to be an artist. First of all, it really is true that you don't need a lot of money to survive. If you, my darling daughter, are willing to have two or three roommates and willing to eat very basically, you know, eat your tuna fish and fresh vegetables, which are cheaper anyway, you know, you can, and not have a car and just, you know, use public transit, you know, you can, you know, you probably can survive. And if you really love your art, as you're young, it's appropriate to give it a shot, because that's what you want to do. And I don't want to be your dad who's fighting you from your idealism. I mean, and I know a lot of successful people who are doctors and lawyers and executives, and they're not that happy. They've got all the money in the world. And so if you want to risk poverty to pursue your dream, it would be wrong of me to discourage it. It's kind of brave in a way. I think you know that the odds are terrible. And I also don't want to put a major rift between you and my daughter. I love you. I want our relationship to stay close, so I will support you. And to be honest, from a selfish perspective, it's easier on me. You know, we're not going to fight. I'm not feeling guilty. I'm pushing you, my daughter, away from your goal. And, you know, like I said, you know, maybe you're going to be a lot happier. And I also think about, you know, maybe I've been living in the Bay Area too long. But when I think of all the people who work for companies, they are, you know, often pushing products that are inferior or that nobody needs, or that the products are succeeding only because they're marketed well. And very often, you know, it's not just the government job. I mean, corporate jobs are bad. People who work in government are often unhappy. They feel they can never get anything done. Everything is slow. People in nonprofits, everything is a collaboration, and every process goes forever, and the problems are so intractable that they're trying to serve in the nonprofits that, you know, they don't close the achievement gap, and they're depressed. So, baby, if you want to be an artist, how could I not support you? Okay, so that's my best argument for supporting the decision to be an artist. And why don't you close our debate with not supporting Barbara Nemco, our daughter's decision if she were to choose to be an artist.
Okay, I would say let's think about your life. And you've grown up fairly comfortably. You've had no problems with things that you wanted, the clothes that you wanted, to go to the school that you wanted, to live in a lovely house. How are you going to support yourself? You've made $1,000 so far. That's not going to get you the first month's rent. And honestly, to be an artist is really fun, but it doesn't have to be your 9-to-5 job. You can have a 9-to-5 job, and that leaves you evenings and weekends and holidays to do all the art you want. So that if something takes off and you get discovered and suddenly you see that it could be a career, you can always quit your day job. That's not a problem. It's finding the day job that's the challenge, and if you've spent years only doing art, you're going to have a hard time breaking into the work world because you won't have particularly employable skills having spent so much time as an independent contractor and artist. Plus, art is fickle and can be terribly depressing. If you're interested in theater arts, you can audition for 10 things in a row and not get any one of them, not because you're not good, but because there's somebody else who somehow more fits what the director had in mind. If you're an artist who does painting or makes jewelry or those kinds of things, how awful it is to be on display in a gallery and you watch people come in and they walk past it and they critique it and they don't buy it. And you're thinking, I worked so hard on that. I think that's beautiful. And they're making derogatory comments on your picture or your earrings or whatever it is that you've created. And that would not make you feel terribly good. So as you think about what you want to do, I think it's important to map out what is really important to you. What are your goals in life? If you really would be happy just living in an artist's commune with a lot of like-minded people and having to share your apartment with a couple of other folks and not being able to go out to restaurants, not being able to go out to clubs, even movies are going to be out of your price range. If you think that that's going to make you happy, then go for it. But I don't think it will, having raised you and lived with you all these years. I think you kind of like the middle-class lifestyle, and that's going to be very difficult. So I think you need to think very long and very hard about what you're proposing, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be the best fit for you.
Okay, dear listeners, you're listening to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. We have we're doing one of our usual switch sides in the middle debate, this time on the question of if you had a son or a daughter who after college had earned about $1,000 from his or her art or acting or painting or magician work or whatever, would you support your kid's decision to say, if she said, I want to be an artist? So, and by doing the switch sides debate, we really like that format, because instead of deciding who's the better debater, because we each take both sides, you're able to focus on which argument you like better. So I'd now like to invite you to call. If you have been listening to this debate and either want to say who you think which side wins and why, or simply want to add something to the conversation that should be included as parents think about how much to support their kids in their art, or if you yourself are the younger person or even an older person, maybe you're 45, 50, 60, and you've decided you've had enough of the work world, whether it be corporate work, government work, or nonprofit work, and you said, you know, I really want to be an artist, and you want to weigh in on the wisdom of that, I invite you to call. The phone number here, Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. 4134.
Let's not leave out the category of parents who've been in this situation.
Excellent.
What did you do? How did it work out?
Excellent. 415-841-4134. Before we go to the phones, there's one other little wrinkle. I was reading the new client questionnaire from a client who's coming in tomorrow morning, and he said he was... he's quite addicted to pot. He smoked pot a lot as a teenager, and now he's 28, and he can't find it. He works at he works at a supermarket, and he can't seem to motivate himself to do much, but he really wants to get out. Both of his parents are very successful professionals, so genetically and environmentally he's had a great life, but he's got no motivation, and part of it is he's really into the music scene. You know, he loves playing music, he says, I got kind of a serious pot habit. In this switch sides debate, where we were trying to decide whether we should support our son or daughter who wanted to pursue an artistic career, if you additionally knew that he or she started smoking pot fairly heavily as a teenager, and we know that the evidence is quite clear now that especially for people who smoke pot starting as a teenager, motivation really does decline, how would that change your opinion, Barbara, about how much support to give your child who wanted to be an artist?
Radically. I think because I would disapprove so much of the heavy use of pot, and I would ascribe the lack of wanting to get a job and do the art as a hobby to the fact that you're smoking pot, and it's a real easy way out. You feel good all the time, and you get to do what you want. But that's being a child. That's not being an adult. And you can't expect that we're going to support you so that you can sit around and smoke pot while we're out there every day working long and hard to make a difference in the world and, B, to support ourselves and you.
Well, I'm going to role play with you, son. Mom, you drink alcohol sometimes. You had people at your house. So I smoke pot. It's recreational. I don't do it during the day, Mom. I just, you know, it's fun. It's a lot better than violence we see. So I smoke some dope. Big deal. Don't not support me, Mom, because I'm smoking dope. You drink alcohol. You drink a lot of wine, Mom.
Well, actually, I don't. And...
Well, whatever. That's it, because a lot of people do.
Pot, well, if I'm an alcoholic,
not an alcoholic.
I don't like to stand on it.
No.
I really drink a lot. We're not talking about the kid who uses what the scenario you described was not the kid who recreationally...
He smokes every day. Let's say this kid smokes every day.
You're talking about someone who smokes a lot of pot.
Well, let's say this kid smokes, you know, when he was a teenager, he smoked every day. Now he just smokes on the weekends. Let's just say that's a very common scenario. Continue.
Well, if he only just smokes on the weekend, then I can't ascribe... his lack of motivation to actually get a job to the fact that he's smoking pot.
That's wrong. No, listen.
Figure in.
Remember, the data is really pretty clear that people who started as teenagers, even if they stopped completely, continue to have lifelong a motivational syndrome to some extent. So, no, that's simply scientific fact.
But I can't change that. He's already done that.
Right, so that's the situation.
Nothing that I say
right.
is going to change it. Therefore, that comes out of the mm-hmm. equation. The issue
right.
is, going forward, how is he going to support himself? And I'm not willing to take on supporting him for the rest of his life.
Okay. Would you insist that your kid stop smoking before
he
provided support?
No, I would insist that he get a job and support himself.
And he'd be okay. It's okay if he chose to smoke on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. All our lines are lighted up. They lit up in about 2 seconds. Let's go to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko. What are your thoughts in response to our switch sides in the middle debate on how much support you should give your kid who wants to be an artist?
Hello. Yes. My name's John. I'm calling about the artist
right.
Debate. And I thought that a part of the debate was missing on the on the pro side,
okay.
that there are really thousands of jobs out there as full-time artists that pay for 9-to-5 jobs. A real easy example are people like Disney who have staff artists, and any of the movie houses have staff artists that come in and work 40 hours a week.
It's a good point. I do need to give it a little more nuance. Increasingly, Pixar and Disney use people only in the Philippines and in Asia because they're purchasable at $5 an hour. Yes, there's a small number of in-house artists at the few big companies, but there are tens of millions of people who want to be artists, and a relative handful of those, you know, secure, well-paying, you know, artist jobs in our global economy. So I want to thank you for the call. We've got all our lines lit up. I want to get as many perspectives as I can. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What is your thoughts in response to the Switch Sides debate on how much you should support your son or daughter who wants to be an artist?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have a similar situation with a 24-year-old daughter who is still in college and aspires to be a college graduate. All the stats say that she should do that. The question that the wrinkle I want to throw into the conversation is there is emotional support and there is physical financial support.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose your artist's daughter, in order to survive, needed, in order to build her career, needed to be in New York and said, Dad, I need $1,500 a month for room and board in Manhattan in order for me to be able to meet my goal, my aspirations. There's just no way I could ever become an artist unless I can get to New York, and I just need you to be my patron and support me in doing that. That's the big,
okay.
You know, I personally absolutely support my daughter's aspiration to get a college degree, and she is right. She will be far more employable if she has one.
Okay, Barb, do you want to take it first, or do you want me to? Oh, Barbara's gone. Okay, one second. We've lost her. I'll answer your question. Just give me one second.
All right.
Just one second. We'll be with you right in a moment.
The other thing I'll throw in, Marty, while you're doing that is, I know a number of people who are artists and they have their day jobs. And I had a coworker who quit his day job at where I was working because it was required too much energy. And the only point of having that job was so he could go home and paint.
Right. Now I want to answer your question. Got it. So, first of all, I have to absolutely question your assumption that it's all that you say. All the stats show the college degree. That's old, old data. And it also very much depends on the major and what college. Certainly, if you major in business at Stanford, you're going to be well employed. If you major in art in San Francisco State, there are studies that now show that 53.6%, it was reported in The Atlantic, 53.6% of all college graduates are doing work they could have done with a high school diploma. So, no, it is not an immediate assumption that you have a college degree means it's going to greatly improve your employability. Second,
all right.
In terms of whether I'd pay the $1,500 a month, no way. She's probably right that her odds of making it in the art world is better. But $1,500 a month, it is, you know, I would much rather, even if I had $10 million, I would much rather my daughter take that day job as a waitress, as millions of other, or as an Uber driver or whatever, to support herself. And that way, instead of she's having this constant enabling that she can pursue her art degree, her art career on her own with support from somebody else, no, she'd feel a far greater sense of urgency. And urgency is the thing that is often most missing in artists. They love the kind of spacey, exploration, slow mindset. It's very much like the kind of the summer camp mindset. I would say I will emotionally, to use your first term, support my kid in going to New York, absolutely giving it a shot, but I would encourage her to circle a date on her calendar 1 or 2 years from now where she's got to kind of have the final decision. But I would not support her financially. I'd want to see what her real commitment was. And if she was really committed to being an artist, she would take that day job to afford the $1,500 a month. I might, as a token, I might pay her airfare to New York so she feels like I was not totally financially abdicating her. But an ongoing $18,000 a year? No F way.
But aren't you squashing her dream?
No, I am actually making it more likely she will be self-efficacious. I'm not because she can get that job in New York if she wanted it, as the waitress or Uber driver, etc. I would definitely not be letting her just sit on my dime. No way. I think that really is exactly the kind of mistake that makes people, our children, the metaphorical equivalent of trust fund babies who end up being lazy. I have a lot of trust fund babies as clients, and really, they are inefficacious because they've been given so much money.
Well, now that I'm back, I would like to weigh in on this.
Great.
I would not permanently subsidize her, but I would set up a certain amount of time, say 6 months, where I would pay the rent for the 6 months, because nobody gets off the plane and gets a job and becomes self-supporting. But after that point, if there's no immediate promise of employment, that's when I would say, now you're on your own and you better figure out what you're going to do.
I wouldn't fight that too much, but I don't think for a day job, you can get a day job in one day. If you, Barbara Nemco, if you landed in New York and had, and you just had your art background, could you not in one day get a job as a waitress, as an Uber driver? No, I would not subsidize my kid for 6 months.
But I don't think that's necessarily what we want to do. The whole point is give her 6 months to try to get the job that she wants in her art that would be self-supporting. And then if after 6 months she doesn't, yes, six months and one day later she can get a job as an Uber driver.
Yeah, that was a new point. That was not meant, the caller did not say that the daughter was open to, the daughter wanted to do her art. But yes, fair point, if in fact she was going to spend the 6 months looking hard for an art-related job that would help her, then I could go along with that.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you very much for the call.
All right, thank you.
Yep, back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What is your thought on the question of how much support you'd give your adult child who wanted to be an artist who had only earned $1,000 from her art so far?
Hi. I was mostly calling in about the comments on marijuana that you make. So while their evidence is, of course, teenagers are affected more because their brains are still forming, many people, including myself, I have four different small ventures going. I run many, many miles a week, about 40. And, you know, it is a lot less harmful than alcohol.
I'm going to interrupt you because I'm not going to go off on that debate. I have done a very serious review of the literature for this for Time magazine, and there is absolutely no question. Your anecdotal evidence is irrelevant. What matters is there is definitive from mainstream university sources. Universities are not right-wing entities. From Harvard and MIT and Northwestern that show that marijuana use, yes, it creates irreversible, serious motivational and psychological, emotional well-being issues on average for people who start as teenagers, and it is exacerbated when it continues into adulthood. Your anecdotal information is irrelevant, and I'm not going to let it kind of taint the airwaves with unfair information. This is something that you can hear my passion. I have seen so many lives ruined by marijuana, not just their lives, but their families, who are, forgetting about the increased cancer and heart attack risk, which is enormous, by the way, if you look at the literature, but both the amotivational syndrome and I can't use the quite term, but there is more mental illness that exists on regular pot users, especially those who started as teenagers, that it has become a major passion for me. And it's not like I never smoked pot. It is something that I have come in more recent years, having reviewed the literature seriously, to say I think there is no more devastating thing that can be done in this country than what is the media is trying to perpetrate, which is to legalize it. It's going to be another big tobacco with all of the medical, mental, and physical health concomitants. And I want to go back to the phones. Let's go back to the next line. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What is your question or comment on the Switch Sides debate?
Hi. I am an artist in San Francisco, one of the last, I think, under 40. And I just have some things to say about, first of all, I think the hand-in-hand pot and artist thing just needs to go away for a second. I am a branding director. I'm a fashion designer. I show work in galleries. And that took a really long time to get that career mix going. In fact, this is the first year that I've had it going. So, and there have been points in time when I've been supported emotionally or financially or not emotionally and not financially. But if you have a child who's a creative, now, there are people who can, and I think what you guys are doing is you're aligning the notion of being an artist as being lazy or not having an idea or only having artists be gallery artists. But that's just not the case.
We didn't say that. I'm sorry. I need to correct the omission.
I need to correct the horizon here. And if you're an artist, this is the last thing I'll say.
You're talking over me and I can't. This is my show. Please.
Sorry.
You weren't listening to the beginning of the show where we talked about the fact that we were talking about everything from magicians to musicians to writers to artists. We're not just talking about gallery artists. So.
And I receive that, and I appreciate that. But there is so many ways that artists create their own careers in mainstream society. And, you know, we really have to carve our own careers. And there's ways in which mainstream careers need artists. And I think the point is if you want to become an artist, you need to find the ways in which you can access those jobs.
Yeah, we've,
so,
again, I, so I'm sorry.
So as someone who's been supported and it took a little while and also had that support drop out, I feel very good and very grateful that I've been able to do this. So that's just from the other side. You know, well, you guys are a lot like my parents, and I really appreciate it. I just
you know,
need to say that, so thank
well,
you.
Okay. Importantly, it's really remarkable to say we took this side. We switched sides in the middle, and I think anybody listening fair-mindedly would know we took with equal vigor both sides. But it's amazing what people hear. They hear what they want to hear. They got defensive. She got defensive. She said, we're taking a side. Barbara Nemco, what's your reaction to any of this?
Oh, well, you know, I don't really have a reaction. I think we try to present both points fairly. And obviously, if someone can be happy and be an artist and find a way to,
sure.
to make it, great.
Sure.
We're not against that.
I know. We couldn't have made stronger arguments for it as well as strong arguments against it. But people hear what they want to hear. And I don't know why it gets me so frustrated. Why should it matter? It's just a radio show. People have their opinion. Like, not everybody listens carefully to the radio.
Right.
But, I guess the reason is I feel...
And there's no quiz.
I feel that people in general... We all, I'm probably as guilty as anybody, I try not to be, but we hear what we want to hear. We're all so close-minded to any view other than what we already hold. And so people will just go on the soapbox. I also found herself, she would not stop talking, even though it's my show that was, she...
But it isn't. It's the, you know, it's a community show. That's when you have
I'm
your
nervous here, you know? I'm nervous. I'm calling to the radio show and expressing your point of view. I'm sorry. You know, but I did hear both sides, and I totally respect both sides. And I'll get off the line now, but I'm just saying that artists, there are ways in which, and I'm offering that out to the listeners, that artists can develop their own career. So if your child, it's not so much this ultimate dependency as it is a longer path. That's all I'm offering. So I did hear everything you said, and I'm so stoked about your show.
And
I just
more
want to
power
offer that
to the artists
though.
That can
Thank
do
you.
That.
Yeah, we agreed. We agree that certainly some, as Barbara said, that somebody who can be an artist and is happy at it, and there are many ways to be one, that sir, who would argue against that? And we didn't. Anyway, all our lines continue to be lighted up, so let's go to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, my name is Josh, and I am a filmmaker, and I just want to sort of just talk about timeline. I appreciate both sides of the argument. I just think to really commit to being an artist, I think the six-month idea in New York just, for most people, wouldn't fly. So I feel like when thinking about this, it really is important to sort of think about the proposition of being an artist as maybe a 10 to 12-year commitment. And then if that's the case, then sort of where does that leave everybody? For me, I had about, you know, 8 or 9 years of sort of working towards being an artist, being a filmmaker, debating this with my family, with my parents, with people around me against overwhelming pressure, and then finally started to have some success in my early 30s. And I think that's pretty typical. Not everybody, but a lot of people find that's the timeline. Therefore, I think the idea is how do you sort of position yourself to survive for that long? Certainly getting a stipend from the family for 10 years isn't good for either party. So I do agree that it's important to get practical, but it's also important for everybody involved to sort of look at it as a really long-term commitment. And I think the ability to make that commitment is sort of the fabric out of which somebody who can succeed as an artist is going to be grown, really. You know, it's not people who want to make it in 6 months or a year are going to be usually pretty disappointed.
That's a great point. Barbara, what's your reaction?
Well, it is wonderful. I'm curious, though, because you said that you have to look at it as this long-term commitment, but that being supported by your parents for 10 to 12 years is not a good idea for either side. So how did you support yourself? Because that's the lesson for all of us.
I had to support myself through a variety of different day jobs, different, 9-to-5s, hourly. I tried everything. I worked in an office. I worked in restaurants. So it was tough, and it was, you know, I made it on my own. And I think, you know, for my confidence as an artist, doing that as an individual and without family support was sort of part and parcel with my ability to succeed. I think if someone's skin is so thin that just a little bit of pushback from their family is going to dissuade them from being an artist, then they should probably look at another career to begin with.
You know, the interesting thing is that even let's assume you were very successful, of course, for every person who puts 10 years into being an artist of whatever sort, writer or actor or musician, there are 1,000 who never did make even a, you know, living wage year in and year out, and including benefits. So that's why, as a human being, and seeing the road of artists littered with disillusionment 10 or 20 years later, or people who are frankly being parasitic on their parents or on the taxpayer for their art, it's lottery odds. It feels like it's crazy. Unless, you know, there are some people who were like just so amazing in high school that they were in the lead in all the plays and they were recruited by Yale and USC School of Drama. That's a whole other story. But for the typical artist who went to San Francisco State, who, you know, some teacher said, good, that was nice work, you know, and they've sold at craft fairs and they sold, you know, a few a few hundred dollars of their jewelry. It feels like when you add the point of it being a 10 to 12 year commitment to even get a sense of whether you're going to succeed, and then are you going to be able to succeed till you're 80, or when you're 45 are you going to be done and then having to start a career at 45? As a human being who cares profoundly about humanity, I feel like it really is like asking people to justify, to have their life hang in the balance based on buying a lottery ticket.
I think you're absolutely right. And so to that, I have two points, I think. One, the person on this road has to really enjoy the process. They can't just be in it for success. I know there's a lot of other things, and you have to be concerned about your long-term financial stability. But if you don't enjoy the road itself, then you really shouldn't be doing it. Because you're right, it may not work out. You may have to have a major career change and look at something else. So you need to be able to look back at those 10 years struggling and say, well, at least that was an amazing experience. If you can't do that, that's a major problem. And then secondly, I think you need to get a lot of positive feedback early on, even if it's not financial.
Right.
I think you need to really be told you're on the right road. You know, I didn't make money, but I had a lot. I won awards. I had a lot of reason to believe I had potential to be successful. And, you know, it may be a little bit callous, you know, but it's not just about dreams. The society and people around you besides your family and friends need to be telling you you have talent and potential. If that's not happening, then, yeah, it's probably worth exploring something else.
You're so right. You know, the teachers are paid to be nice to you. You know, if you're a college professor of art or of film, your student evaluations depend on, in a sense, how encouraging you are of people. And if you're a private teacher of somebody, you know, it's much easier psychologically for yourself and more likely to keep your students if you're praising them. What you want is exactly what you said. You want people who would either be paying you to praise you or at least winning competitions, national or regional competitions. That's unbiased, and that would certainly changes the equation. I really loved your call. And in fact, because I love your call so much, I want to give you one more shot. Is there anything else? Because you have a very good balanced perspective. I really, unlike that previous caller, I really think you're bringing a lot to the table here. Is there anything else that, if you put your wise man's hat on, that you want to share with either parents of young adults who would like to be artists or adults who themselves want to be artists?
With the parents, I would just share, you know, this is not a black or white thing. I think parents bringing a very sort of nuanced balance between practicality and emotional support is probably the key. I don't know if you can. I think if a parent falls too far on either end, they're gonna sort of cause some serious disruption. I mean, you can over support somebody, you know, and you can under support them, because if they're gonna do it anyway, then what's the point of compromising the relationship along the way? So, you know, I think one time, you know, and like I said before, I think if the parent, a little bit of dissuasion sort of convinces a child not to do it, then great. If the parent tries to dissuade the child and the child's going to do it anyway, no matter what, then, like, you know, might as well get on the bandwagon emotionally at least. So, and to the artist again, I don't know what else I can say beyond just, you know, you have to have thick skin and be in it for the long haul and really be in it for the ride.
There's one other thing, you know, that is apparent from you. If you, as soon as you listen, like I know you now 2 minutes, 5 minutes, but I know you're very smart and you're very thoughtful. That is we're not allowed to use the word smart anymore. It's somehow it's gotten political overtones. But anybody meeting you if I had to, if I were in the Shark Tank and I had to invest in an artist, just listening to you for 2 minutes says, this is a smart guy, this is a thoughtful guy, he's also, he doesn't fly off the handle, he's a, I would bet on you because of your intelligence. And that's something we're not allowed to say, but as you, as a, I don't mean you, the caller, I mean you, parents, are trying to assess the viability of your child as an artist, or if you yourself are the artist, intelligence is required to negotiate the world of your day job, of agents, of how to market your art. Would you agree, caller, that intelligence is a very important factor that needs to be considered in the equation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to have a... although I will say that I think my perspective now is much... I have a lot more equanimity 10 years in. I think when I was in my early 20s, I was probably really unreasonable and bullheaded and difficult to deal with. So, you know, I mean, this is me sort of looking back on, I'm still early in my career right now, but, you know, it took a while to sort of be able to have some sort of perspective on it. Art's a very emotional, volatile thing, for better or for worse. So.
What is your filmmaker now? How are you making your living as a filmmaker now?
I do documentary films, and I get paid to do commercial and web content films for different companies, and occasionally I get paid to work on a documentary, but usually I do commercial work, and then I turn around and reinvest a portion of that money into my own projects. So.
I see. Barbara, you have anything you want to add or ask?
No, I am very impressed.
Yeah, good call, great call. Really appreciate you. You're an honored member of the Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco workforce. You take care. All our lines continue to be lighted up without my giving out the phone number, so great. Let's go right back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind on the thing is I got a letter for the president. I need a bank that can put up 21 quadrillion accounts for my real estate.
This seems off topic, so I'm going to thank you for the call. Let's go to the next line. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hi.
You know, I just want to say that I was reminded of the film The Graduate.
Uh-huh.
Remember that film?
Sure.
Oh, yes.
He's at the cocktail party, and
right.
The man is saying...
Plastics.
You have to go into plastics. You have to go into plastics.
Right.
It feels like I'm very, very saddened by the conversation, because obviously you folks are not art people. I am an artist. I've had a gallery in Berkeley for 20 years. I closed it 2 years ago. It has been my life's work to be involved in art. It is so profound that I can't even, you know, I happened to tune in, and I was so saddened by your conversation about it only as product and as livelihood. You know, both my sons are artists. My son teaches at Cal Arts and UC Riverside, and he struggles, but that's his choice, and I support him profoundly. The world needs art and artists and literature. When I went up to the UC Berkeley campus in solidarity with my son when he was protesting with his students about tuition raises, I heard the chairperson of the art department, a very amazing scholar. He's a Cezanne scholar. And he said, this used to be a university. Now it is all about privatization. And that's what you are proposing, that we only think of money. And it feels really sad to me. I just had to say this with as much passion as I could.
Well, two couple of things, and then I'm going to want Barbara to comment. First of all, you don't know us. I'm a professional pianist, and I've been one since I was 12. I've been in, directed and acted in a ton of plays. So is Barbara. We are the biggest supporter of the arts in the world. But we also are a believer in people supporting themselves and not relying on the taxpayer to support them. And so when you're talking about the arts as our son or daughter wanting her to stand on her own 2 feet and not be dependent on parents or dependent on others to support her for her choices, that's where we're coming from. Nobody loves the arts more than us. None of us spend more time. Nobody spends more time on their arts. I've written 4 one-woman shows. I play the piano constantly. So it's not we don't like the arts, but we also value responsibility and being able to pay for your way. And I'm not averse to some government grants for really talented artists. But we are, for those of you, if you were just joining us in the beginning of the show, we made clear we're talking about not a superstar. We're talking about somebody who was graduated from San Francisco State, who's, you know, made less than $1,000 from her art, so she's not getting, and she's not winning any prizes
and I will coach her, because she has to overcome this lack of support from her parents. Because I work with artists and I coach them, and that's what I hear, especially from women who did not get any validation for what they wanted to do in their life.
Barbara, what do you want to say?
I think that these artists are lucky to have you. Would you like to tell us how they can contact you?
I would be delighted to. My name is Cecile Muchnick, and I am at telephone number 510-549-1018.
Parents, if you're listening and you have a child who's an artist, I hope you're writing that number down.
Thank you very much for asking that.
If you're listening.
Yeah, but I'm hoping they don't. I just feel like all of this encouraging of lottery odds is really ultimately not in kids' best interest. To say, follow your art, even if the world is not giving you any signs that you can make a living at it. I don't understand.
I was recently at a small Van Gogh show at Williams College called Van Gogh and Nature. God, I'm glad that his brother supported him. And I would be impoverished without Van Gogh. I would be impoverished. I had an intern for 1 year, and he went into business. I wish that he had gone into arts administration.
For every Van Gogh, there are 10 million people who are sitting with houses or apartments filled with their canvases. Anyway, I want to thank you for the call. Barbara, thank you for the call. Barbara, anything else you want to say about this whole question?
I tried to present both sides. I'm sorry that she found that depressing, but I like her offer.
Really? So yep. If we had this daughter who graduated from San Francisco State, and let's say who did not show any great praise for her art from the world, other than her teachers, and her friends, and we were worried about that, and we were encouraging her to have a serious, a self-sustaining day job that didn't have lottery odds and pursue her art as a hobby, she were yesterday listening to the show, our daughter, you really would encourage her to go to this woman who's going to tell her, who's going to pump her up to, follow her art, even though nobody's giving her a lot of real-world encouragement, they're going to be self-sustaining?
I would say all the things that we discussed in our debate about taking a certain amount of time and that we're not going to support you and you can do it on the side. But if you want to listen to what Cecile has to say, maybe Cecile has contacts and she can help you. That's fine. I still have my deadlines. If you want to go to New York and pursue it, you've got 6 months that will support you, and then you better get a day job. So that doesn't change.
I'm glad I'm married to you and not Cecile. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Barbara Nemco.
Cecile's probably glad, too.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty and Barbara. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hello.
Is this me?
It is.
Hi. Well, I just want to say I completely agree with you, Marty, about the lottery odds nature of the arts world. But it's... I also want to weigh in on the gray areas that have been raised by some of the other callers. I'll give you a case in point. My niece is an artist. She went through art school and did a very specialized job. She was trained to make prosthetics for the movie industry. Mm-hmm. And things like sort of wounds and gory things like that. She's in her 20s. She has been very successful. She has worked on such, blockbusters as Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, so you would say that she's very specialized. She's in a industry that's very clear-cut, and she's been successful. But it is the nature of the business that it's freelance. And she gets hired for a movie, and then she's out of work again.
Right.
And that makes it terribly difficult to have a day job, as it were, because when you're on a movie, you're working all the time.
Mm.
And then in between, you have these fallow periods. So here's somebody who is seriously trained, very successful, and still living on the edge. So I just wanted to say there are many, many gray areas in the art world, and you have to really want to do it. And if you want to do it like she does it, she's doing the best she can.
What do you think about this argument? You know, art school is so expensive. It's, you know, typical, you know, the Academy, San Francisco Academy of the Arts, and the all those schools, they end up costing about $200,000 for 4 years. To make that kind of money as an artist is very difficult. So if my daughter, or son, of course, wanted to be an artist and had really good talent in that area, if my kid was not academic especially, I might be more inclined to encourage my kid to, yes, have a narrow niche specialization, which I do like that idea, but find a mentor and let her develop her craft, if it was in some little niche area, with that mentor. So my kid is not starting out with $200,000 in debt and is being taught by world-leading people in that specialty. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's an excellent idea, but I doubt if it would work in every area. I'm sure that there are some arts jobs in which that would work. You've heard of people who've gone in as a stagehand and then become an actor and stuff like that. But there are going to be others where they're looking for you to be up and running, like my niece.
Yeah, I'm not meaning that. I'm meaning the following. Let's say I wanted to be a cinematographer. I wanted to be the expert at the lighting of movies. And let's say I made a list of the 10 cinematographers. Probably if I wanted to be a cinematographer, I would have known a lot of movies that I just loved the way they were lighted. And I would look for who the cinematographers were for those 10 movies, and I would write a heartfelt letter, not written by some professional. It would be my high school, if I'm in high school, a letter written like a high school student, saying I'm something like, "Dear Ms. Whatever, who is the cinematographer, I am scared about my career dream. My career dream is to be a cinematographer. I'm daunted at the idea of spending $200,000 on art school to join the millions of others wannabes. I figured that I want to at least explore the possibility of potentially gaining expertise in my craft by apprenticing. I will do your laundry, I will get your coffee, whatever, in exchange for your mentoring me and giving me feedback on my work. Would you do it?" And I would bet that if that high school student sent 10 letters to those and explaining why the person was writing to that cinematographer, "I loved your work in the Sixth Sense because of blah, 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 and blah," I would bet that one of those would give her a shot. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I mean, if you recall in the olden days, I don't know if this is still the case, it used to be that there were two ways to become a lawyer. One was to go to
school
and get a law degree, and the other was to simply go and work in
right.
a law firm.
Still possible.
From the ground up.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a wonderful thing if you can make it work. But I think, just to rebut you a little, the mm-hmm. main point of my call was to say that there isn't one answer that fits every case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that would be a fantastic thing if you could avoid art school fees and get into what you want to do. But there are probably, and I'm not an expert, there are probably areas where that just isn't possible.
Kirby. Barbara Nemco, do you want to add anything, please?
I'm just curious because you say that your niece has been very successful in the movie industry, but that in between movies, then there's the problem. How is she managing to live, and is she happy? Because, as we said earlier, you can be happy living on less money. There are many ways to do that.
Well, she's in Britain, so I'm not closely involved in all the details. Here, she is saving up, and she's about to... what she does is she lives somewhere while she's got a job, and then she's been going home in between and staying with her parents. And now she's just about at the stage where she can start to find a sharing living situation. So I see a progression. But, you know, she just has to wait for those fantastic jobs to come.
Is she happy overall? Is she glad about her decision?
She is very happy. She loves her work.
Good.
You know, she just loves it.
Well, there you go. That's very important.
Yes, and I loved your call, too. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, too.
Right. Okay, great. We have time for one more call, so let's do it. It's great. All our lines have been lighted up for the entire hour. This question of art is it's so powerful for all of us.
Yep.
And there are both sides to it. You know, the fact that so many people are willing to take the lottery odds is emblematic of, you know, of... of how important it is to people. You know what? I think I'm looking at the clock, and maybe we shouldn't go to the phones. Why don't Barbara, you know, I've noted I've talked perhaps 60 or 70% of the time. You've talked 30, and I always like to keep things a little more even. I'd like you to look back on this hour, and what are some of the summary thoughts that you would like to make with regard to this really difficult dilemma of how much, as parents, we should support not the young artist who's already gotten won awards and prizes. That's clearly we would support. Anybody would support that. But for the more typical person who is facing those long odds, what are your thoughts, pro and con, as a way of capstoning this discussion?
For me, the beautiful thing about the arts is that it doesn't need to be a 9-to-5 job. There is so much time available that people spend doing recreational activities, movies, golf, tennis, television, whatever, that can be devoted to the arts. So I don't think it's an either-or choice necessarily. I think the artist who is really passionate can have the day job that's self-supporting as well as the creativity in doing community theater. I have met so many fabulous people, many of whom are very talented as singers, as actors, and most of them have day jobs. Many of them are teachers. I keep running into people in Napa County in the schools. One was my husband in a play, one was my niece in a play, but they have day jobs. So it may not necessarily need to be a choice. I think you can do both.
Let me, for balance, let me take the other side. Let me take the pro side. You know, it really is true. And again, I'm not going to encourage anybody to be living off of somebody else so they can be an artist. But it really is, as you said in the very top of the show, it's possible to live on very little. And there are so many people for whom art is their life. It would feel like an abdication of their essence to do anything other than their art as their main activity, whether it be theater or it be playing a musical instrument or it be painting or it be writing a novel or even poetry. And being a magician, we love going to magic shows, right? And so to deny them their essence, if they feel that is their essence, not just something they can throw aside, and that's what we're talking about here, somebody who's passionate about it, I think we have an obligation to support them. Even the taxpayer, remember how much the government does support art. They know that artists can't make it as a living. So that's why we have the National Endowment for the Arts that supports really talented people. So if it was my son or a daughter, I probably would try to encourage them to, if they really had talent and there was external messages that they were good, if not necessarily super great, I wouldn't go the 10-year route. But for 1 or 2 years, I would be kind of the businessman side of the equation, because if my daughter or son is an artist, they're probably not very business oriented, and I would really map out a strategy for getting grants, for entering contests to win awards, for developing relationships with powerful people who could augment their career, and I would be kind of the loving taskmaster that would keep them on that business side of things as they were doing their art, and that would seem to somehow strike the balance. We only have a few seconds. What's your thought about that?
That most people are not that highly talented.
Okay.
Yes, it's obvious when you have somebody who has the really unusual great talent.
All right, we got to go.
That's going to be recognized.
Anyway, I was talking about somebody who was a little sub that. But anyway, that's Work with Marty Nemko and Barbara Nemko for this week. I hope you appreciated the unvarnished trying to present both sides, including with each other and with the listeners. It's always easy to play nicey-nicey, but I can't. I love to support what I can, but if I can't, I feel like I owe it to you, my listeners, to be unvarnished in my honest reactions. Anyway, I want to thank my board operator, Joanne Marr, and, of course, all of you for listening and calling in. Please join me again next Sunday at 11. I will do workovers on callers and Edward Frankel on what is it really like to be a mathematician. I was afraid that was going to be boring, but when I got to know him, nope. For example, he wrote a book called Love and Math. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemko for Barbara Nemko, reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.